Hi, welcome to this, I guess. I don't know what to call it. I guess like a blog cast, a pod log, blog thing. Basically, I like to talk, but also I'm shy. So I'm going to do like a stream of consciousness. Why did I not pronounce that right? Stream of consciousness thing. Cast. And it'll be very unprofessional, as you can already hear, where I just talk about things I want to talk about, and then I piece them together and publish them on a day of the week. So probably like Sunday or something. I don't know. Anyways, that's what this is. And if you want to be annoyed, please continue to listen. Oh, my name's Seth, by the way. Hi. So, something monumental occurred in the world. Last week, Justin Bieber made his return. I've never really been like a big Justin Bieber fan. Like, I've only heard singles pretty much. Only listened to them like on the radio. If they were on, back when I used to listen to the radio, now we use Spotify. He's very talented, and I think he's a great singer. I think he's got some bops, you know. But he made his big comeback recently with a song called Yummy. Now, he has been featured artist, is that what you say? In other songs where he had his own little verse in someone else's song, like he did a verse on Billie Eilish's Bad Guy, and he did a verse on Ed Sheeran, there he goes. Ed Sheeran, he did a verse on an Ed Sheeran song. Don't remember what the song was called. Though I did like it. Anyway, Justin Bieber came back with the song Yummy. No one's happy. This song is god-awful. It is very shallow. Not a good comeback song. Like, I didn't know what to expect from Justin Bieber, but I didn't expect anything that bad, you know? So if you haven't heard the song, you really shouldn't. It's not good. However, I guess it's catchy. The main lyric is, you got that yummy yum. Yum, I guess. Wait, no. That yummy yum, that yummy yum. Yeah, that's how it goes. That's the main lyric in the chorus. You got that yummy yum. It's about, hope is a strong word. I think it's about sex with his wife. Which, what I'm saying is, I would hope that it's his wife that he's singing about. I mean, I don't assume it's anyone else. However, also, I don't want to hear about how you enjoy sex with your wife. Thank you. I'm glad that you're taking part in that part of your marriage. However, you don't have to sing about it. I don't think anyone really cares to hear about it, you know? Like, also, comparing sex to food, saying it's yummy, is also kind of just gross in general. and I'm not here for it. Now, this song is very interesting because no one likes it. It's doing terribly. He tried to make just like a basic song that would be a hit on the charts. And I'm not looking at the charts because I don't even know how to look at the charts. But I have a feeling it's not on the charts. It was probably there for like a minute. And it might still be there just because it's Justin Bieber and it's his comeback song. But anyway, it's, you look at it and you think it's like, what am I saying? It's like, he made a big deal about it, but he's making, the interesting part is he's like making a big deal about it on TikTok, you know, the app where people record videos, and a lot of the videos have like music in them. So I think he's trying to, because he keeps telling people to like listen to it or like to make videos of it on TikTok. And so I guess that's how he's trying to brand the song, as like a TikTok song, because there are songs that are like that have become TikTok songs. Like that's what they're known for, is TikTok, because a bunch of people use them. But the thing is, like, just because a song's on TikTok doesn't mean it's good. And also, a lot of the, I think, don't quote me, but I think these TikTok songs, they're, I don't know how to word this. Their massive usage was organic. It was not like an artist saying, make TikToks using my song, please. I don't know how Yummy's doing in the TikTok realm. I don't know. Anyway. Also, apparently, I watched the video, but there's a David Dobrik video where he gets people in a car and Justin Bieber's like in the back seat and David Dobrik and the other person are sitting in the front seats, and he asks the person about Justin Bieber, like, what do they think about him, blah 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 blah, and then so like they'll say something and then Justin Bieber will jump or like peek over from the back and be like, hi, it's me, I'm Justin Bieber, and then they freak out. So if you don't know who if you don't know who David Dobrik is, he's a YouTuber. I don't watch him. He's very popular. I think all of his videos are made to be 4 minutes and 20 seconds long, so that it's a 420 joke, and that's really stupid in my opinion, but you know, whatever. And so Justin Bieber is trying to use, this is my opinion, what I think, Justin Bieber's trying to use David Dobrik to increase his own fame. No, that's not what I'm trying to say. Like, the song sucks. The song is failing, and he's trying to make it not suck. But that's impossible. So it's funny, even in the video, there's this one guy who says he loves Justin Bieber, but Yummy is not it. And then Justin Bieber jumps back and, like, fake chokes him because of his constructive criticism. But the boy was right. Yummy is not it. It is horrible. And I think the worst part about it is that it's his comeback song. Like, he's been gone. Last thing we got was Purpose, I think. Don't quote me. I'm not a believer. You came back with Yummy? That Yummy Yum? Really? Who told you? Like, the thing is, like, he has, like... Is his record label stupid? Like, who allowed him to do this? If he was an indie artist, whatever. But he's Justin Bieber. Who let this happen? This is... And don't come for me. This is even worse than Taylor Swift's comeback song, Me. I love my girl Taylor. And I do enjoy the song, Me. I think it's a decent song. It's not one that gets a lot of plays from me. Because Taylor's side B songs, you know, like the not the singles, are the best, and that's a scandal, but that's a whole nother situation. Anyway, Me wasn't horrible. But it wasn't the best comeback. It was just like, okay, you did that, whatever. But this is so much worse. Yummy? Really, Justin? Really? So, on Twitter, there is an account, and I think the account is on multiple social media. It's probably like Twitter. I'm pretty sure I've seen it on Facebook before. It probably has an Instagram. Probably whatever it can have, it has. The account is Atheist Republic, which I'm not an atheist. I'm a Reformed Christian. And so, I never followed them, obviously. The account was just, not good, like, memes and things, trying to gotcha on religion and Christianity. Like, they posted something that's like, if it has multiple versions, it's not real. Talk about how, like, there's multiple versions of the Bible. And that's pure idiocy. A lot of their things they post are like that, where they're not even decent arguments. They're just gotcha questions and gotcha statements and stuff that are easily explained and proven wrong from any sane human being. However, what's interesting is they have been posting Christian memes, like not even memes that like make sense for them to post. Like, I understand maybe some of the memes they posted, like, I guess you can see from an atheistic perspective, and I don't know how to explain what I just said, but that is what I said and that is how I feel. But they've been posting memes that are clearly can't be taken as atheistic whatsoever. Like, they've posted mainly Presbyterian memes, I'm pretty sure, which is iconic. I love that. But it's so weird, because it's like, well, did they get hacked? And maybe. But then you look and you see, at the same time, they're posting those, but in between those, they still have these posts of, like, someone took a selfie of themselves holding a piece of paper that they wrote Atheist Republic on, and like where they're from, and they're still posting pictures of that, showing people proud that they're atheists. So it's like, did they get hacked? Someone on Twitter I was talking with said that maybe those were scheduled posts that still went up, but the Presbyterian memes were coming from someone that was hacked. But I thought about it and that made sense, but then I looked closer. And this still very well could be it, but I feel like, I don't know, because when you click on a tweet, you can see where someone tweeted it from. It's like, it tells you if they have the Twitter app on their iPhone, or it tells you if it's on an Android. It tells you if it's on they tweeted from the computer. But there are a bunch of other apps and things that you can tweet from, which you can do like scheduled posts with, and it just depends. It's a whole bunch of different stuff. I know TweetDeck is a big thing people use. So they had one of those, something or other thing that they tweeted from. But the Presbyterian memes and the normal atheist post thingies came from the same thing. They didn't come from two different places, which is very confusing and I don't understand. Like, I guess someone can hack their thing on the other thing, and then the thing, you know what I'm saying? Exactly, that made total sense. But unfortunately, they have went back to atheist memes. And I hope this saga continues, because I'm very interested in what the heck happened, what the heck's going on, and I hope it just doesn't end there. I need more. Ah! today at school, and I don't even know how to explain this, so we're in for a ride. I was in the library. I get there early before my classes, and I can chill in the library, do homework and stuff. So that's what I was doing. I'm reading this book, and I was trying to focus. Very difficult to focus. For some reason, I was not able to focus on this book very well. Part of it was what I'm about to talk about. So I hear, I don't know why these people in the library decide they're going to be loud all of a sudden, but they are. Like, hello, I'm in the library. Thank you. That means I'm trying to read. And that means you need to shut up. So, these people are just sitting, they're talking. And then all of a sudden, one guy is like making fun of another guy because this guy, the other guy said, sunshiny. Wait, no. What did he say? He used sunshine, but turned it into a verb. It's like sunshining. Sunshining everywhere. Sunshiny, I don't know, something. I can't even remember, so I don't even know why I'm telling the story. But that was happening. And so the other guy made fun of him. And he went on and on. And it was like, dude, shut up. Like, we get it. He said something that's not a word. Like, if you keep going on, you will not have a friend. And, like, the dude even said, like, he doesn't even know what to say in response to me or something like that. And then, so, like, that happened. But then the first guy who was making fun of the other guy, he just started talking about literally everything in the world. He was like, did you see my story? My Instagram story? Did you see my story? Did you see my story? Just over and over. Like, he would not let this guy answer. He was just asking him if he saw his story. And then eventually he was like, yeah, I got so lit last night. I was turned. Like, okay. Are you bragging about getting drunk? Is that what we're doing in the library? Huh? What? And then he started talking about how he used to take thirst trap pictures and put them on his story. He was like, I used to take thirst traps, you know? And like, but then no one slid up on them. No one DM'd me. So I stopped. And I'm just very confused about this human being. And I feel for him because I can tell based on what little I heard from him, he thinks he's all that and no one else thinks that. He just thinks he is the coolest guy ever. And no one else agrees. They just kind of go along with it. And don't know why I'm told this story, but that's what happened today. So, like last week, okay, I saw on Twitter that at Coachella this year, Hatsune Miku is gonna be there, and this is just a lot. So, first of all, Coachella, I think the majority of people know what that is, but it's like a yearly music festival. Happens every year in the Coachella Valley in California, and they get a lot of big artists there, and it's a big deal, and like a bunch of famous people go to just listen to the music, and a bunch of people dress up in their Coachella outfits, and it's like big on fashion, music, everything, and a lot of people do drugs there too. So Hatsune Miku, there's a lot to unpack. She is what is called a Vocaloid. And I listened to a lot of Vocaloid in middle school. Yes, I was that kid. Vocaloids are electronic voices. So like, how a Vocaloid is made is they take a person, and then this person, they record them singing and saying so many different sounds and syllables, so that they package all those sounds and syllables together so that you can use Vocaloid to make virtual singers. Hopefully how I explained that made sense. But basically it's like a singing instrument. And so there are many different Vocaloids. Like there's Hatsune Miku. She's the most famous, most popular. There's like Kagamin. I don't know if that's how you pronounce that actually. Kagamin Lin and Kagamin Rin. So they're like two little twin Vocaloids, and they both have their own voices. There's a lot of them. And so Vocaloid is produced by Yamaha. It's their software. But then other companies can make their own Vocaloids. Like Yamaha makes their own Vocaloids. But like Hatsune Miku is actually Krypton Future Media, which is a different company. Anyways, none of that mattered. But Hatsune Miku's at Coachella. So we have, and how her concert is going to work, because this is how all her concerts work, is there's going to be a screen set up, and she's basically going to be like a hologram dancing on the screen while her music is played from the speakers. And that is mind-boggling. Like, honestly, some of her songs do be hitting. Some of them do be good. I'm just saying. But, like, I'm not surprised that she exists. I'm not surprised that she's a thing. But I am a little surprised that she'll be at Coachella. Like, there was enough demand in the United States for her to be at the music festival. And, like, if I was going to Coachella, you bet your butt I would be there and watching Hatsune Miku. Like, why wouldn't you? That's insane. And it's just a lot. It's a lot to take in. I had a mental breakdown when I saw that this happened, because like middle school me came back, and I don't know. I went through it. Anyways, you're going to Coachella, which probably no one listening to this is. Go see Hatsune Miku. Support the fake person. Support the robot. They're taking over! So, recently, I decided I wanted to finish reading the Harry Potter series. I have read the first three books, like one in like fifth grade of elementary school, one in middle school, and then like the third one in high school. And then I just didn't, like, that was how long it took me to get through those. But, like, I want to finish it. I want to actually, like, read the whole series. And just, because I do enjoy it. It's not like, I think it's very good. And not actually sure if J.K. Rowling wrote it. Someone else might have. And it's just under her name. But we're not going to get into that scandal, that conspiracy theory today. But I think they're good books. And so I went to the library probably about a month ago to like pick up where I left off, because I have so many books. I didn't have a job at that time anyway. And so I needed to save my money. So why would I buy the whole series, which would cost me like $50, which I guess isn't that much for seven books. Seven, like, they are bigger in size than others. But it just was pointless, because I have a local library that's free that I can use. And honestly, a due date on a book might be good for me. And I have learned that a due date is good for me. I will actually not procrastinate on the book. And so I get there and they don't have the fourth book, which is a scandal, but I'm not going to drag them. So I got it to where I did an interlibrary loan, so they would get it to me later and I could come pick it up. However, I didn't want to just go there and not, check anything out. I just felt like I should check something out if I was going to be there. So I checked out a book that I have seen a lot, and I just never, I don't know if I really ever had that big of an interest in it. It's, Beyonders by Brandon Mull. Well, no, the series is Beyonders. The first book is A World Without Heroes. The series is Beyonders by, and the author is Brandon Mull. So I checked that book out. It's a YA fiction novel. I like YA. I'm an adult. And I'm 20 years old. I still like YA. Get over it. So I checked that book out. And oh my god, this book was good. This book was so good. So book review time. So this book is I'm going to call it an isekai. You might not know what that means, but it's a Japanese term because this is a very popular genre in Japan, so like they made their own term for it. I don't know if there's an actual like English term for this genre, but it's a genre where someone from the real world, our world, gets sent to another world and is trapped there and has to live there. And that other world is usually like a high fantasy type setting. So Narnia is probably the first one you would think of. You could consider The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe an isekai because they end up going to Narnia and they do stuff there. Anyways, they're not exactly stuck there, but they are stuck there. But anyway, I'm not talking about Narnia. I'm talking about this book. So it's an isekai, and it is about a boy named Jason. I believe he's 14 years old, if I remember correctly. And so what happens is he's part-timing at, I don't know if he's like actually working and making money or if he's volunteering, but anyways, he's working at a zoo in his free time, and he's around the hippopotamus exhibit, and he hears music, and like there's no music in the hippopotamus exhibit, so why is there music? Why is he hearing music coming from the hippopotamus exhibit? So he like goes in there and he's like trying to figure out this music, and then the hippopotamus, I know this sounds crazy, I know it's silly, but like, I'm trying to remember exactly what happened, but he like falls into the hippopotamus's mouth. But then he's like, that was the portal to the other world. And so what had happened was, this group of musicians performed like a song ceremony thing to summon someone called a Beyonder, which is someone not from their world. They would summon a Beyonder to save the world, basically. If I remember correctly, the world is called Lyria. Don't quote me on that, because hard to remember some things, you know? Anyway, so he goes to Lyria, and he just wants to, like, figure out how to get home, you know? He's a 14-year-old kid in a high fantasy world, you know? And so, I'm not going to spoil how this happens because it was really good. It like gave me goosebumps how he wrote this, but basically he gets roped into a quest where he has to kill the Emperor of Lyria. So the Emperor of Lyria is Maldor, and he is not good. He's evil. And so he's like unjust, whatever you want to say. And basically Jason has to save Lyria. So he also meets another Beyonder on the way. Her name is, was it Rachel? I think her name was Rachel, but I can't exactly remember. It was Rachel, I'm pretty sure, but I could be wrong. She's a 14-year-old girl who went through a portal as well. She didn't go through a hippopotamus mouth. She was in the Grand Canyon? I don't know. Somehow she went to the Beyond Two, and so they both had to go on this quest to defeat Maldor. And so what the quest is they have to, in this world, there's magic, but there's actually only one magician left, and that is Maldor, the Emperor. And so how magicians, let me remember this right. For some reason, I think it was like magicians gave their master, they created a spell out of the magical language, which I believe was called Edomic. And so they create a spell of like random syllables that if you say it in their presence, it would, the book never says it will kill them. It says it will like end them or undo them. And that's very interesting that they say that. And so I believe, if I remember correctly, so like the wizard had to give it to their master. So like the master had control over them. That wasn't a big part of the story on why the word existed. So they have to find the syllables to this word. Anyway, they have to find the syllables to the word. And that's the quest. I believe there were 7 syllables. And so he got the first syllable. And that's what, once he learned the first syllable of the word, he was roped into the quest. So he had to find the syllables, and he only shared the syllables with Rachel. So only they knew the words. They can't say the word or write the word down, or else you immediately forget it, because that's how the spell works. So you only have one chance to use it. You can't test it out. And so that's their quest. They got to find all the syllables of the word. And so they're all hidden in different places. They got to go through dangerous things to get them, whatever. Now, I like Jason more than Rachel. Rachel's not bad. At first, she was kind of annoying, but she grew on me. Jason's really like a blank slate, I think. And so he grew on me as well as the story went on. So those are 2 main characters. However, where the story really shines, character-wise, is the supporting characters, and also the villain. So the supporting characters, 2 in particular, are Farron and Jasher, and they are part of the wizard-born races. So like these are races that wizards created. So Farron is a displacer, which is they look human. However, like their limbs can be severed from their body and they still work. So like there's like a magical portal. If their limbs are severed, there's like a portal between their limbs that are still connecting them magically, but they're not connecting them. So Farron is really cool. He can do some really cool stuff when you get to his part. That was awesome. I really enjoyed him as a character. I also enjoyed Jasher a lot too. He came out of nowhere. He was real cool. So it's either an Amal Cabal or an Amar Cabal. I think it's Amar Cabal. I can't exactly remember it. But so that is a race that they have like a seed in the nape of their neck. And so if they die and that seed is planted, they'll be reborn. They'll like grow in a few months and then they'll just come back to life. They're like a phoenix human, kind of. And so he's really cool. I don't want to spoil their stories because they're so cool. Now, the villain, Maldor. He is honestly one of the best villains I've ever seen, read about, whatever, in any story. He's so smart. So what he did is he cut all communications in his empire except for his followers. So like all the cities are not communicated with each other. There's hardly any travelers, whatever. He's in control. But what he does is basically, I can't remember if everyone knows about the word, but people know that like occasionally someone will rise up to stop him, especially in his early days as emperor. Well, what he does is, and I don't think this is a major spoiler at all, what he does whenever someone rises up against him is he kind of toys with them, and he lets them go along, do a little bit, you know. However, as they do more and more against him, and like they're kind of proving themselves, he offers them to be either like this, they can go to this one place where it's like paradise for them, they'll never have to suffer again. So you can think of like a Garden of Eden type area, all the food they could ever want, blah blah blah. So he offers them an invitation there, or he offers them like to switch on his side and be one of his like highest ranking associates. And he does that so that he can break the spirits of the people to where like they will never ever be able to rise, like they'll never be able to build a strong enough force to rise against him. I don't know. He's real cool. There's some other stuff that happens that obviously I'm not going to spoil because he's the villain and cool stuff's going to happen with him. There's a lot of stuff with him and it's really cool. And the first book ended and the ending had me shook. And once I get through Harry Potter, I'm going to read the rest of that series because it was good. Anyways, that's my review. 5 out of 5 stars on A World Without Heroes by Brandon Mull. So every week I'm going to try to do a song of the week, and I'll talk about a song that I really like, have been listening to this week, if I can think of one, or it's just a song in general that I like, maybe a new song that came out. So this week, one of my absolute favorite artists, Charlie Powers. You might not have ever heard of him because he's not very famous. He's a very small artist. He's got a very small catalog of probably a little over 10 songs, but he is so good. His voice is amazing. The production on his songs is so good. So he hadn't released a song for quite a while, I think. Probably half a year is what I'm gonna say. Anyway, he released a song, Tell Me Why, and it is so good. It starts off, starts off peppy. It's like a good beat. It's going, and then it gets chill. And then, the real song starts. I don't want to say that, the real song starts, but, I don't know. The first part, I don't know. It's just, there to have fun, and then, for a few seconds, and then he gets sad. The song is very sad. You can tell the main lyric is, tell me why. Wait, do I even remember the lyric? I can't, now that I'm talking about it. I can't think of the lyric. Anyways, it's about how his heart's always breaking. So sad, so depressing, but it's so good. And I'm not a music reviewer, so I don't know what else to say. But listen to it. Thank you for listening to this. I know it was really stupid and pointless and stream of consciousness and stupid and pointless and dumb and pointless. Did I say pointless? Maybe. But yeah, if you enjoyed it, that's surprising. However, thank you. So... I'm gonna try to post on Saturdays, Sundays, just record wherever I feel like saying during the week and then posting. If that's something that interests you, great. If it doesn't interest you, I'm not surprised. And if you liked it, can you leave a review? I guess you can leave a review. Do that. And if you're on Anchor, you can do stuff on Anchor that's cool and extra. If you're on Anchor, you can send voice messages and I can respond to them, put the voice message in the episode and all kinds of fun stuff. And so, yeah, bye.